So today, I want to talk to you about something that goes along with mission, something that goes along with our story, with our purpose, and that is this idea of shalom, peace. How many of you have heard the word shalom before? Wow, awesome, most of you. It's a Hebrew word, and it's a word that is very much like the word aloha. How many of you have heard the word aloha before? Yeah, that's pretty much everybody. Aloha in the native Hawaiian language means hello and goodbye. It's used for both. Shalom in Hebrew is used for both hello and goodbye, except it doesn't mean hello, goodbye. It means peace. So when people of the Jewish faith greet one another, they greet each other with an offering of peace. So what is peace? Well, I'm going to start by reading Romans 14, 17 to you again. We talked about this last week. But peace is one of the three defining characteristics of the kingdom of God, according to Paul. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Now, why does he say that? Because he was just talking to them about people who thought it was a sin to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And he was talking to them about how people who are mature can eat whatever they want to. People who are immature still make a bunch of laws for themselves regarding what they eat and drink. But Paul says it's not even about that. That's really not the important issue. The important issues of the kingdom are righteousness, which we defined last week as keeping the law according to Jesus, which is love God and love your neighbor. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this week, we're going to take the idea of peace and we're going to discuss what it means to have peace. Now, if I were to ask you, you've all done a lot of writing already today, but if I were to ask you to write down the Ten Commandments, do you think you could do that, all 10 of them? I see some nods. I see some shaking heads. It's hard because some of them are not exactly what you would think would be in the Ten Commandments. But I'm going to read them out to you so you don't have to remember them. And I'm going to read them to you from the version of the Bible called The Message because it makes them plainer. Thou shalt have no other gods before me turns into, in The Message, no other gods, only me. And then God says, no carved gods of any size, shape, or form. Don't carve out and make for yourself any gods. Then he says, no using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter. Don't take God's name in vain. And then number 4 says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then number 5 says, honor your father and mother. And then we get the ones that most people can name. No murder, no adultery, no stealing, no lies about your neighbor, and no lusting after your neighbor's possessions. What are the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are is the point at which God is setting up his covenant with the people of Israel. If you'll remember back, God has already set up two covenants. One he set up with Noah, and he simply made a promise. I promise that I will never flood the earth again. Doesn't require anything of the people, doesn't require anything for this promise to come true. And then God sets up his covenant with Abraham. And God promises specifically to Abraham that he's going to make his offspring into great nations. And more than that, the world will be blessed through Abraham's offspring. But God said, you have to do something. You have a part to play in this covenant. So what was the part to play? What was the thing that Abraham's offspring had to do? Well, it's something that Jews still hold to this day, that if you are Jewish, you will circumcise your male children. That was the commitment on the part of the people to being part of God's covenant. Well, God rescues the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, because the people, Jacob's descendants, had traveled to Egypt because there was a famine, and Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, was in charge of all of Egypt and made a life for them there. Except they lived there for a long time, and they grew in number and grew and grew until there was one day a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph and didn't know why there were so many of these blasted people. What are they doing here? They're not Egyptian. So what do? They enslave them. They say, you're not part of us, so we're going to make you less than us. And not to get too political, but sometimes we do that, don't we? We see people who don't look like us. We see people who don't act like us and don't believe like us. And we say, because they're not like us, they're not good enough to be with us. And that is very unchristian. It goes against completely what the Bible teaches about welcoming people, and it goes completely against what the Bible teaches about loving your neighbor. The Bible does not put stipulations on who your neighbor is. It doesn't say as long as they believe like you, as long as they act like you, as long as they vote like you. The Bible simply says, you see your neighbor in need, you meet that need. You help in whatever way you can. So, I got ahead of myself a little bit. Sorry about that. The Ten Commandments is God telling the Jews, the Israelites, what they have to do to be part of his people as he leads them out of Egypt. He has already rescued them. He has already given them life outside of slavery and servitude. And he says, I will lead you to a promised land. And when I do, this is how you will remain my people. You will keep these laws. What does that have to do with shalom? What does that have to do with peace? Well, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are all about relationship with God. And if you look at the last six, they're all about relationship with others. They're all about keeping peaceful relationships with God and with others. You see, God created us not simply because he was an artist who wanted to create something crazily intricate and absolutely insane, because to be honest, most of us are insane. God created people because he wanted relationship. You see, one of the things that I've heard that differentiates humans from angels is the ability to choose God or not choose God. The angels worship and praise and love and do God's bidding. Humans have the ability every single second of every single day to say, I'm going to love God, or I'm going to choose myself. And what God has done through the Ten Commandments is he's shown us a little bit more about how we choose to love God, how we choose to be in right relationship with God, and that's where we find peace. We were created to be in relationship with God, and we were created to find shalom in that relationship. Now, people can screw that up, can't they? You can repent of your sins and be doing all the right things, and somebody comes along and hurts you in a really bad way. Now, you could retaliate and steal from them. You could retaliate and murder them, but then you're in trouble. Because we're human, we often damage the peace that people should be experiencing. Because we're human, we often transgress. Which is why the Bible says, and Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts, our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us. Because it's the peace that comes from being in right relationship that should define us as Christians. The Hebrew word shalom means peace, but peace is an inadequate translation. We think of peace as the absence of conflict, but shalom is far more than the absence of conflict, because we can be conflict-free and still lack a sense of peace. We might still be unsettled. We might still feel as if something is missing in our lives. Shalom means to make something whole. Shalom is an experience of fullness, completeness, and contentment. Perhaps the closest word to shalom in the English language is something like well-being. But even that's inadequate, because well-being doesn't come close to capturing the radical and counterintuitive nature of shalom. In the Hebraic way of thinking, this fullness, completeness, contentment, well-being called shalom is the result of the joining together of opposites or ostensibly opposing forces. What comes to my mind is the idea that opposites attract. We as people often look for people who are complementary to us. I am not a clean person. Melissa is a very clean person. Together, I make her messy. That's the way it works. I'm just kidding. We help each other. She reminds me to pick up after myself. I remind her to relax a little bit. We can pick up in a few minutes. Shalom in the Bible is told to us this way, Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf will romp with the lamb, the leopard sleep with the goat kid. Calf and lion will eat from the same trough, and a little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze the same pasture. Their calves and cubs grow up together, and the lion eats straw like the ox. The nursing child will crawl over rattlesnake dens. The toddler will stick his hand down the hole of a serpent. Neither animal will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God alive, a living knowledge of God, ocean deep and ocean wide. This vision of shalom means that all is not aligned with God's love. All that is not aligned with God's love is brought back into place. Justice is served for one and all. You see, there is another side of shalom. And that side of shalom is best represented in my mind in the civil rights movement. This movement that saw that there were people of color, people of different races and ethnic origins, and people who were not represented in the democracy that we are. People of all different types that were being mistreated. And so what did they do? They fought. That doesn't sound like peace. But there can be no peace while there is oppression. There can be no peace while there is subjugation. See, peace is two different things. Peace for an individual can be found in the midst of trials and temptations. But we also believe in peace for the community. We believe that God's love means peace for everyone. And what that means for us is that when there are those who can't have peace because of the way they are being treated and misrepresented and harmed, it means that we fight for them. Peace is not simply a good feeling. Peace is a state of being. Feldmeyer, the guy whose quote I read about shalom, his name is Mark Feldmeyer, and he writes in a book, Life After God, for those who are searching for God and have trouble finding him in the church. He writes for those people. But he says, the moral arc of the universe bends toward this ultimate purpose, towards peace, but it does not bend on its own. God gives to each of us the task of bending it. Shalom begins with us. But before it begins with us, it must happen in us. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. We need to know the peace of God before we can fight for peace for others And before we can live it out in such a way that the world sees that we have something different, we've got to know that peace in ourselves. I'm going to end with this thought. Matthew 5:9. Does anybody know what that section of scripture is called? Absolutely. And what is Jesus giving us at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes. That's right. This is one of my favorites, but not for the reason you would think. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Notice he doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Peacekeepers are often seen walking around with guns, telling people to obey, telling people to suck it up and just do what they're told. No, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. These are the ones who fight for justice. These are the ones who sacrifice themselves in order to gain something for someone else. Peacemakers are not people who close their eyes to the problems of the world and hum and stick their fingers in their ears and just go about their business. Peacemakers take their fingers out of their ears, close their mouths, and open their eyes, see the problems in the world, and go about doing what is necessary to fix them. And those people will be called children of God. Why is that? Because God is a peacemaking God. God saw us in our sin, saw us in a broken relationship with Him, and said, I'm going to do what is necessary to fix that. God did what was necessary through Jesus, bringing peace to us so that we could bring peace to others. Going all the way back to the beginning, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about joy next week. But that peace, right in the middle, sometimes we write that off as something simple, just a feeling. But I want you to know today that it is so much more than that. It requires, just as Logan read Melissa's article for missions, it requires action. Faith and peace require us to work. Are you willing to work with me to bring peace into this community, to bring peace to each other, to help fight for those in our midst who may be like the story, young woman with nothing. Maybe they're people of color and they need help. Maybe they're people who have been harmed by systems of oppression like people of color have been for so many years. What can we do? We can band together. We can come together. We can join with each other and raise our voices and say, no more. We love these people because God loves these people. God loves all people. And what that looks like for us is that we stand up and we say, we will be there with you. We're going to simply skip over our closing hymn and have a benediction. Went a little long today, so we're going to skip that part. And we'll Would you stand with me and allow me to pray for you? Father, would you bless this people? Would you bless each person here with the knowledge that you did what was necessary to bring us into right relationship with you? And would you compel each of us to join together to fight for peace for each other and for our community? God, you give us peace. You are the peacemaker. You are the Prince of Peace. May that rule and reign in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, our community, our nation, and this world. May your peace reign. In Jesus' name, amen.